Recording is started.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the GNSO Review Working Group call on the 28th of September, 2017. On the call today, we have Sarah Bakke, Jen Wolf, Wolf Ulrich Knobin, Rafiq Damak, and Lori Schulman. I don't see any apologies at this time. And from staff, I have Amr Elsiter, Marika Konings, Julia Headland, and myself, Julie Bisland. We'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to Jen Wolf. Please begin.
Thanks, Julie, and thanks, everyone, for taking the time to join the call and the meeting today. We appreciate it. On our agenda today, we'll do a brief update on any statements of interest. Then we'll do a quick update on the consensus call that closed on the 25th of September for the Charter for Recommendation 31. We'll discuss an update to the presentation to the OEC and the GNSO Council, and then we will move on to discussing recommendations 26 through 29 and close out with looking at our meeting schedule ahead, our next meeting in October, and then looking at the ICANN meeting and beyond that. So with that, just briefly, does anyone have any updates to their statements of interest? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Julie Headland, was there anything new that we needed on the consensus call? I think it closed.
Yes, the only update is that the consensus call closed and there were no comments or objections, so recommendation 31 was approved by full consensus. And then I see Wolf Ulrich has just a short amount of time, so just to quickly note, if I may, the next item on the agenda, just to that, staff is working on the report that will go to the OEC and also the GNSO Council, both of those updates to happen at ICANN 60, and staff should have a draft of the report out next week.
Great, thank you. And thanks, Wolf Ulrich, for that comment. Yes, I realize you have a short amount of time, so let's go ahead and move on to the recommendations 26 to 29. Julie, could you take us through those?
Absolutely. Right, and see, I've got them in the Adobe Connect room now. I'll have them synced while I speak through them. So these are all recommendations 26, 27, 28, 29, that relate to stakeholder group and constituency membership and statements of interest. And so just to mention then each of the recommendations. 26 relates to the members of the council, executive committee, stakeholder groups and constituencies, as well as working groups, and the recommendation to complete and maintain a current comprehensive statement of interest on the GNSO website. And where individuals represent bodies or clients, this information is to be posted. If not posted because of client confidentiality, the participant's interest or position must be disclosed. Failing either of these, the individual shall not be permitted to participate. And then 27 is that the GNSO establish and maintain a centralized, publicly available list of members and individual participants of every constituency and stakeholder group with a link to the individual's statement of interest where one is required and posted. Recommendation 28 is that section 6.1.2 membership of chapter 6.1 of the stakeholder group and constituencies operating principles and participation guidelines of the GNSO operating procedures should be revised to clarify that key clauses are mandatory rather than advisory, and to institute meaningful sanctions for noncompliance where appropriate. And then recommendation 29, the statements of interest of GNSO Council members and executive committee members of all stakeholder groups and constituencies should include the total number of years that person has held leadership positions in ICANN. And so let me just then go on to the sort of scope statement, that the this GNSO review group would review the current GNSO operating procedures that are related to the recommendations and work with staff on possible modifications, which then will be published for public comment, followed by GNSO Council approval. And then there would be assumptions that modifications, if these recommendations were to be implemented, modifications would need to be incorporated in Chapter 5, Statements of Interest of the GNSO Operating Procedures, as well as Chapter 6.0, Stakeholder Groups and Constituencies. There may also be changes that would have to be made to the procedures for the various stakeholder groups and constituencies. So if I might proceed to the analysis that staff has conducted, and then I know that Wolf Ulrich had some comments, had reviewed this charter and had some comments too. But so with respect to recommendation 26, so currently in Chapter 5 in the Statements of Interest in the GNSO Operating Procedures, the definition of a relevant party to which the requirements apply include the council, work team, working group, committee, or other such policy development body formed by and under the supervision of the GNSO Council. The entities mentioned in Recommendation 26, that is, executive committee members of stakeholder groups and constituencies, are not currently included in this requirement to complete and maintain a current comprehensive statement of interest. In addition, the current Chapter 5 does not specifically state that where individuals represent bodies or clients, that this information is to be posted. However, the statement of interest must provide the following information that could be related to that requirement. Are there any arrangements/agreements between you and any other group, constituency, or person regarding your participation as a work team member? And if so, please describe the arrangements, agreements, and the name of the group, constituency, or persons. So staff suggests that the GNSO review working group should review the current language and determine whether it should be revised in order to implement Recommendation 26. For example, per the recommendation, Chapter 5.0 would need to be revised to include executive committee members of stakeholder groups and constituencies in the definition of relevant party. Staff, of course, could draft language for the working group to consider. Staff also notes that the SOIs of council and stakeholder group and constituency leadership are documented on the GNSO site. So separate from separate from Chapter 5.0, the information of the SOIs of the leadership, the executive positions, are actually posted. They're posted for the council. They're posted for the various constituencies and stakeholder groups, as noted here. And so the working group could consider whether or not this provision is met through, say, the posting of the SOIs, separately and not as included in the language in Chapter 5.0. I'll just stop there and see if there's any questions on that recommendation, but I'm happy to just keep following along because I know, again, that Wolf Ulrich is strained for time. Please go ahead, Wolf Ulrich.
Yes, this is Wolf Ulrich. Can you understand me?
I hear you fine.
Okay, great. Yes, my comment to this recommendation was delivered and distributed as well. So it is just the question of the definition. So whom we should really include in the group of people who should provide a statement of interest. Well, and this is this suggestion here is including the so-called excoms. So I was of the SGs and constituencies. But the first thing I have to say is the following. Well, as I know, the different SGs and Cs, constituencies, they have different habit about how to select their XCOMs and on what time scale. For example, in our constituency, it's done every year. So we had, that would be one thing as well. We had to update then these things, you know, by every year. And the other thing is came to my mind, well, if you look to the procedures themselves, so what is relevant really here is all what is related to policy development. And the XCOM as a group in our constituency, in particular, in the ISPCP, they don't have the power, anything, well, to decide or, well, say, to discuss with regard policy, which and make recommendations with regard policy. All is done through the working groups, and then it's done through the entire community. Well, it's the entire constituency. It's discussed on that level, and then it comes to the council members, yeah, well, to be discussed and to be voted on that. So that is my concern with that. So on the other hand, so if, you know, those, most of these people are anyway covered, you know, usually because there is a interrelation often between working group members and XCOM members. Maybe they are the same people in person, so there's no problem how to provide. So that's why I would have a concern about to make it formally, well, to oblige the SGs and Cs, well, to do so. So that's my comment. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Warwick. Any other comments?
Hey, this is Lori.
Hi, Lori. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I couldn't find my hand. Sorry. Now I see my hand. Anyway, I just have a question about this confidentiality, because this applies to many members of my own community, IPC, because they're attorneys that represent clients. So, it says here that if there's a confidentiality, I'm looking at the exact language, where individual represents bodies or clients, this information should be posted. If not posted because of client confidentiality, the participant's interest or position must be disclosed. What does that mean? Like, you can't say who your client is, but what do you disclose? I don't know what you mean by interest or position. Do you mean the position on the GNSO?
So this is Julie. It's a really good question. I'm trying to look at the language right now. The participant's information is not posted because of client confidentiality. The participant's interest or position. So the participant then would be the council member, executive committee member, member of working groups, as opposed to you know, the clients they represent. So I suppose go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say that you're going to disclose your position anyway, because that's part of the SOI. So I guess I don't understand.
Well, I suppose, and I think, you know, maybe what we need to do is ask, you know, maybe, you know, our ICANN legal staff to try to, you know, parse this a little bit more for us. Go ahead, Jen. Sorry.
I fully understand, having, you know, been in the role of lawyer consultant for a lot of clients, sometimes that is a confidential relationship. You know, so, I mean, I think if that's a confidential relationship, and if you're there to speak as a lawyer consultant generally as part of whatever group you're a part of, I don't see what you need to disclose. That's what your position is. You are a lawyer or a consultant for someone else. I think if you were giving a comment specifically on behalf of a company, then that would be a different story. You would need to say who you were representing. So I don't know if maybe there's some way to clarify that. But, I mean, it's obviously for a lot of people, they have a fiduciary duty to their clients that they can't disclose.
Right. I understand the duty. This is not about the duty. The duty is very clear to me. What isn't clear to me, and maybe I just need to read the language purely on its face when it says, if not posted because of client confidentiality, the participant's interest or position must be disclosed. Would that then mean if I'm a partner in a law firm and I get up and I say, or I type in and I say, I am a paid consultant for Lori's law firm, or I, as opposed to saying I'm a paid consultant for XYZ company, a client of Lori's law firm? That's what I'm trying to figure out. What is actually disclosed? The fact that I'm an attorney that represents third parties, or the fact that I'm an attorney that represents undisclosed third parties? I just don't know what the disclosure is. Literally, what do you write in the SOI?
Thank you, Lori. Does anybody else have any thoughts on this? Otherwise, I might suggest that that we could ask our legal staff if they have some thoughts on how this might be interpreted to make it, and we have to add a little bit more explanation to make it more clear as far as what specifically needs to be disclosed or not. I'm afraid I don't have an answer to your question, Lori. I also can see how it could be a little unclear. Marika Konings is saying maybe the question is as well, what can be disclosed? Yeah, exactly. I mean, here we say the participant's interest or position must be disclosed. But yes, what exactly is that? What does that mean? So can we take back as an action to try to get a little bit more clarification on this language? See, Marika is typing. Okay, and maybe while Marika's typing, okay. So Marika says, can it be stated that someone is participating on behalf of the client without stating who the client is or what their exact brief was? And I guess that is the question, right? Is would that still fulfill the requirements of this recommendation? Right. Thanks, Rory. We've captured that then. Let's see if we can get an answer to that to get some clarification for exactly what needs to be disclosed or not. So I'll move ahead to recommendation 27. And again, that one relates to a centralized, publicly available list of members and individual participants of every constituency and stakeholder group with a link to the individual statement of interest where one is required. And so moving along then, this centralized list does exist, but members of stakeholder groups and constituencies, SOs and ACs and stakeholder groups and constituencies are not required to have SOIs unless participating in working groups or leadership positions. So the GNSO review working group should consider where to include a requirement for such a list. For example, Chapter 6.0, stakeholder groups and constituencies, operating principles and participation guidelines could be modified to include a requirement for stakeholder groups and constituencies to provide access to ICANN to their membership lists. Well, we have the aggregated list. That's not really the issue so much as the fact that we don't have an SOI associated with each person in that list, because an SOI is only required for people, as stated in Chapter 5.0. So not everyone is required to have an SOI. And this is staff just notes that member lists of SOs and ACs and SGs and Cs have existed at least until FY15, if not earlier. Those links are captured here. So the question then for the GNSO review working group is where would we sort of expand the requirement to not only have this centralized information, to have these lists, but also where to have a requirement that the list must also have a link to the individual statement of interest. Now, I'll note here, though, looking at this language, it says where one is required and posted. So perhaps the, if an SOI is required, somebody's in a working group or a work team, then that would be linked to the list. So there would be a mechanical aspect of just simply making sure there's a link between the individual listed and that person's SOI. So it may be that to implement this, one would simply need to make sort of connections between information that's already available. So anyway, I'll stop there, though, and see if anybody has any questions with this. And go ahead, Wolf Ulrich.
Thanks, Julie. Well, we're speaking, but I have to leave in 3 minutes right now. But briefly, maybe I misunderstood, the approach here. So I do not have any problem with a members list, which is already available, because, for example, our constituency has also a members list on the website, which is publicly available. With regards to the, as I understand, well, the SOIs, well, linked to those members, or to have available such a list. That's what I understand is now the request. And, well, it should at first only just contain, well, SOIs which are required according to the existing rules with relation to policy development activities on working groups and other bodies. Well, and where it is publicly available, well, I don't have any ideas or any specific request. Well, as long as you can manage that, so that would be my comment. So it's a little bit different to the comment I have filed, because I was thinking, well, that ICANN would have specific access to other SOIs in addition to what is already available. So thanks very much. I'm sorry I have to leave, so because of another meeting, which is just people flocking in. Thanks for hearing me. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much for joining Wolf Ulrich in the short time that you have, and thank you so much for your very helpful comment. That's quite useful. Rafiq. Rafiq, if you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Looks like his line just dropped.
Yeah, so Rafiq, it looks like your microphone is, you're trying to speak, but we are not hearing you.
All right.
I see Julie is typing. I'll just note a comment in the chat. Amr Alfeder has said, my impression is that this recommendation is not creating additional requirements for SOIs being posted, but only linking that those that are required to be linked to the centralized membership list. I think Wolf Ulrich is saying the same thing. And Julie Beeslin is saying, Rafiq, please let Julie Beeslin know if you need a dial-out. We are unfortunately unable to hear you at the moment, but happy to come back to you as soon as we can hear you. In the meantime, perhaps I'll move along, but just noting the comments that perhaps in the situation of Recommendation 27, we have really more of a just a mechanical issue of linking SOIs that already exist to lists of members that already exist, and that's something that staff could look into as determining feasibility and how that might be implemented. And no, we don't know why. I don't know if you want to try again to speak, Rafiq. And in the meantime, moving along to Recommendation 28. That recommendation states that Section 6.1.2 membership of Chapter 6.1.2 CEO of the Stakeholder Groups and Constituencies Operating Principles and Participation Guidelines, of the Junis operating procedures should be revised to clarify that key clauses are mandatory rather than advisory, and to institute meaningful sanctions for noncompliance where appropriate. Staff could provide draft language for the working group to consider. Staff notes that to a degree, sanctions and compliance monitoring already exist. So, for example, council and SG&C leadership, admin support maintain the GNSO site for leadership changes and collaborates with individuals to have their SOIs complete upon changes to leadership, while the SGC leadership SOI requirements and the operating procedures are not authoritatively defined. Past leaderships have always completed SOIs as posted on the GNSO site. Concerning working group participation, at the start of each working group, or new additions to existing working group members are required to meet SOI requirements for working group participation. After several weeks of noncompliance, a member will be reduced to observer until compliance is met. Lastly, each formal working group call or GNSO council meeting first agenda item is to ask for any updates of SOIs. And I see Rafik is rejoining. Let's see whether or not he's able to speak. Is Rafik back on, Julie?
He's joined his Adobe Connect. He's probably trying to get audio right now. Maybe give him a second.
Sure. So with respect to 28, I think this maybe goes beyond just SOIs. It's one thing that staff could probably try to get clarity on by looking back at the recommendations from the GNSO Review Working Party is, what are the key clauses in Chapter 6.0, Subsection 6.1.2 that are mandatory? Is it every statement within this 6.1.2 that then is a, instead of should, it becomes must? We'll look back at the language and see if we can provide some clarification on exactly what is being requested to be changed. Or whether or not current existing procedures are sufficient to meet the implementation of this this recommendation. But perhaps I'll see if anybody has any questions and see whether or not Rafik has been able to get his audio back. Not seeing any questions, so at this point, perhaps for 28, staff could take the action to look at Section 1.2 membership, specifically looking at the key clauses in that section that would then be mandatory, what that would mean as far as language and what that might mean as far as the level of compliance and sanctions that may already exist. I mean, if the language has to be changed to be mandatory, that would require a change to this section of the procedures, and staff could do a draft markup just so that the GNSO review working group could get a sense of what that change might mean. Does that sound like a good way forward on that recommendation, Jen, others?
Yes. Excuse me.
So then moving along to recommendation 29, current statements of interest of GNSO council members and executive committee members of all stakeholder groups and constituencies do not include the total number of years that person has held leadership positions in ICANN. For the recommendation, Chapter 5 statement of interest would need to be modified to include the requirement to provide the total number of years that person has held leadership positions. And staff would provide draft language for the working group to consider. So staff notes that this recommendation could be difficult to implement as the text is stated here. Perhaps staff can suggest if there are changes to SOI forms that a start date field could be listed within the SOI. This way the system can calculate the total number of years from current date minus start date to current number of years. Now that, staff would note that that would not then indicate, that, however, leadership positions. And I think what this recommendation is trying to achieve is to show who has held leadership positions and for how long. Marika notes, would it be more valuable to list actual leadership positions with years held, as an accumulation may not be that helpful? I think, yes, Marika, I think that's the point I'm also trying to make, is that cumulative number of years doesn't really get at, I think, the recommendation here. I think the recommendation is more interested in, you know, have you held a leadership position and for how long? So this will require a change to Chapter 5.0. There would be an additional item that people would have to complete. And we would have to determine whether or not anybody with a current SOI would have to then go back and update it accordingly. And that is it then grandfathered? Or is it something that starts up, you know, with new SOIs? I mean, obviously it would be valuable to have the backdated information, but that could entail, you know, a considerable amount of work on the part of community members. So maybe I'll just open it up for comments and questions. And then there's just a general note, too. Staff notes that the SOI platform is going to migrate from the current Wiki solutions that we use to the global enrollment platform. This platform could allow for proper connection to individuals' profiles and better alignment with the SOI to the working group entry into the system. The unofficial target date for launch is FY19. Clearly that's beyond the date of when we need to get this recommendation implemented, which needs to be before the end of this year. So that is a point of interest that, you know, there could be further improvements to the SOI. Marika Koenig says, so could an interim solution be to add a field asking people to list previous leadership positions held? And what is considered a leadership position that may also require some definition? For example, being an appointee to NOMCOM, is that a leadership position? So those are good questions. And I'll see if others have questions as well. And I'll note that, unfortunately, it looks like we've lost Rafiq again. Okay, so Rafiq said dial-out is not an option, unfortunately, because Adobe Connect line is dropped again. So Jen, Maury, Sarah, any thoughts on this one?
No, I don't have anything to add, Lori or Sarah.
Okay, I see Rafiq has come back into the room. Okay, so I see Sarah says nothing to add, Lori says nothing pops out, and thank you, Jen, also. So perhaps what we can do for this recommendation is make some suggestions for an additional field that where people would list previous leadership positions, and possibly, you know, in current positions. I think that we would have to develop a definition of what is a leadership position, and staff could take a draft of that as well. So let me just summarize where we stand on each of these as we've gone through these recommendations and the action items. So with respect to recommendation number 26, So you do need to clarify what needs to be disclosed. So the action item 426, and possibly to go back to our ICANN legal staff, is to provide more input on what could be required for disclosure to fulfill the requirement in Recommendation 26. Staff will take that action. On Recommendation 27, staff will investigate the feasibility of implementing the recommendation and report back, and specifically really just the mechanical aspect of connecting the membership list we already have with existing SOIs as they exist. Recommendation 28, staff will review the key clauses in Section 612 of the operating procedures that would need to be changed to implement the recommendation and provide a markup to the working group. And then with respect to Recommendation 29, staff will provide a proposal of the addition of a field, the SOI that lists past and current leadership positions. And also clarification of what is a leadership position. So staff takes those actions. I don't think there's any more discussion on this recommendation. I will note that we also have action item for Recommendation 6 that we had previously reviewed to combine that with other recommendations. There's two other recommendations that relate to diversity, Recommendation 36. So staff has that outstanding action item, which we'll include in the notes so that we don't lose track of it. So, Jen, I guess the next item is the meeting schedule, and then I'll talk about the run-up to ICANN 60.
Sure. Yes, so our next meeting is 2 weeks from today, which is the 12th of October, and I had noted I won't be able to be there, but confirmed that Wolf Ulrich will so that he can run the meeting. And then following that, we are close to the next ICANN meeting. And Julie, were you able to check your travel schedule?
I'm definitely available. I'm not actually leaving until late that evening. So, and I think I'm hopeful that some people won't be traveling yet.
Go ahead and go on the 26th.
I would suggest that alternatively we could see if people were interested in switching to the week before. Would it be then the 19th? Yeah, I mean, a value of that is that, we'll have, staff will have the OEC report, report that can also be used for the GNSO update at ICANN 60 out for the working group to review next week. It's a fairly straightforward report in that it's pretty much a matter of simply taking existing text out of the implementation charters and out of the implementation plan and shifting it into the report format. So staff isn't really having to create anything new, anything that the working group hasn't already seen. But this report would need to be distributed to the council and to the OEC prior to ICANN 60. And in the case of the council, within the no later than the document deadline for reports to be considered at the GNSO council meeting. That meeting is on the Wednesday, the 1st of November, so backing up 10 days from that. The value of having a meeting on the 19th would be to have two meetings to review the report, and that review would happen prior to the report being then released to the council, whereas the meeting just prior to on the 27th, I'm sorry, 26th, just prior, it would be too late for the working group to make any further changes to the report. I mean, the report would have to have been submitted prior to that.
OK, Okay, so unless there's an objection, then why don't we schedule our next meetings for the 12th of October and then again the 19th of October so that we have time to get everything prepared properly. And then so then we would be looking at November 2nd is during the ICANN meeting, and then the following week is usually a break week. And then do we want to send out a doodle poll for resuming, or do we want to try to pick up then again on the 16th? What were you thinking, Julie?
I was thinking this time seems to work well enough for the core people who join.
Okay.
I'm a little bit hesitant to try to pick other times because we now have so many meetings that it becomes difficult to find unconflicted times. And, in fact, I'll just note that we did agree that we had to change the time for the meeting on the 12th of October in order for Wolf Ulrich to be able to cover that meeting so as not to conflict with the GNSA Council meeting that's also that morning. So I think I will check, but I believe that that's been rescheduled to 1300 UTC as opposed to 1200 UTC. So we get a little bit constrained. So I would suggest we pick up on the 16th at our usual time and help, you know, get our usual core group of participants.
Okay. Okay. Does anybody have an objection to that calendar? Not seeing anything in the chat or any other comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Jen.
Yes,
I just want to let you know that I'm in Europe from mid-October, from like the 17th till after Abu Dhabi. I'm not going to Abu Dhabi, but I'm going to remotely participate on European time rather than, Amr just put in the chat, these can be late. Oh, no, 1400 is 2 p.m.? Your head, I'm sorry. Please ignore what I just said. I was coming backwards instead of forwards. I apologize. I'll do the best I can to make the call, but I am in Europe at that time at another conference. So I'll just play it by ear. That's the best I can promise.
Okay. So if you're in Europe, it should be okay because it's mid-afternoon. That's right. Okay. So if there's no other objections, Julie, why don't we go ahead and send out updated calendar invites to everyone with the schedule, and then we can hopefully just continue on that until we hit the end of the year and holidays, and we can look at what we need to do at that point.
Thank you, Jen. That sounds good. So I'll work with the Secretariat on that. So just confirming again, we've got 12th of October. That time, I think, it's changed to 1300 UTC. We'll check that. We will meet on the 19th of October as opposed to the 26th. 26th will then be canceled. We will not meet, obviously, during our 1060 or the week immediately following, so we'll pick up again at the usual time of 1200 UTC on the 16th of November. I didn't have anything else on the agenda. Jen, I don't know if anybody else had anything.
No, I don't have anything. Does anyone else have anything they want to address? We can wrap up a little early today. See, Lori is typing.
She says, I am good.
Okay, I must be slower than you are. Okay, well, great. Then we can bring this meeting to a close. So thank you, everyone, for your time again. We appreciate your continued commitment to this effort, and we look forward to speaking again soon.
Yeah, thanks, everyone, and we'll make sure to get the report, the OEC report, out to you prior to next week's meeting so we can spend time on the next call with that. Thanks, everyone. Thanks so much for joining.
Bye.
Thank you, Jen, for sharing. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Today's meeting is adjourned. Simon, can you please stop the recording? Everyone, have a great rest of your day.